Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses.
And I think Groucho Marx said laughter is the best medicine. So we're about to overdose on both.
Hi, I'm George Chen.
And I'm Paco Romain.
Welcome to SubDoc, the show where we talk to interesting people about their favorite documentaries.
Yeah, and on today's episode, I met up with the hilarious comedian Todd Glass, who wanted to talk to us about Bill Maher's 2008 documentary, Religulous. Hi, Todd.
Hello.
Hi, this is SubDoc. You are Todd Glass.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm doing all right, too.
Good, good. Glad to see you. So when I asked you to do this podcast, and you said yes, and I was very happy, you picked Religulous.
I said yes because, you know, it's not that I always get afraid that I'm talking about the same thing over and over again. And for me, it, you know, no reason to get into it now. Then I'm hinging on doing it again. So the minute you said what it was, at first I said, you know, I don't know any. I know I've seen some documentaries and a lot of them have been, you know, I remember well watching them going, wow, that was amazing. That was said very well. I don't know if I knew that before. That taught that me in a very great way. But I didn't. And then I thought Religulous. And because this is a podcast and I can say this part up front and know it won't get edited out, I'm not a big fan of some of Bill Maher's recent things that he said at all. And also just even some of the lighter things, like he thinks that youth now is getting, you know, he's one of those people that's saying, oh, the kids today, they're so PC. I don't agree with that.
Right.
I don't agree with that at all.
There's some millennial hate going on
and,
by the
and
elders.
As far as the ISIS and what, how do I say that? Look, without getting into it now. In the past, fucking love Bill Maher. Yes. I think he's been crazy progressive and you know, just kind to the right people and harsh to the people that need to be treated harsh.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that were agnostic and a lot of people that were atheist that were afraid to admit it. But no matter what, it did free up a lot of people. I don't even know if he realizes it. A lot of shit changed after that. Uh-huh. A lot of people weren't afraid to go, you know, to be honest, yeah, I'm probably agnostic.
Yeah, well, he mentions the 16% a few times in that documentary about how 16% of Americans say they're atheists, and he's like, that's more than the Jews of the United States. That's more than even Black people are in the United States. That's a huge voting bloc,
right,
and a very large percentage of the American population. That he's like, just do something, like let's have a voting bloc of the 16% of the atheists is what he's, you know, saying in that.
Right. Time. You recently rewatched it. Oh, you watched it for the first time, right?
No, I saw it in the theater.
Oh, when you
it
did.
First came out. Yeah, because religion is something I'm very interested in due to my background growing up in an extremely religious family. And I like Bill Maher. And then I rewatched it to prepare for this. Yeah.
Recently, I sort of had a new slant on it, how I feel about people that say they're atheists and people that say they're agnostic. Agnostic. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Nothing worse than hearing someone do a whole interview and they're saying a word wrong. But I know my heart's in the right place.
It has something to do with omelets. I think. Agnostic? No.
the thing that I realized recently was that there's a lot of misunderstanding going on when people say they're agnostic or when they say they're atheist. And I think before you have a conversation with somebody of what they think religion means, you have to first take the time to say, what do you think religion means? After you listen, say to the other person, what do you think mean agnostic means? Because a lot of times you'll find out you're sort of on the same page.
Yeah.
People that are religious, you find out, oh, you don't believe that. And then you'll go, what is being agnostic mean to you? And the reason that I thought that was because once Jen Kirkman said to me that she told someone she was atheist and they went, but you don't believe in a higher power? And she was like, that was the first time she realized that when you say you're agnostic or atheist, a lot of people have, there's 15 things they think that that encompasses. And if you take the time, you go, no, it doesn't. And one of them was, there's no higher power. She went, of course I think there's a higher power. No wonder you looked at me like I was a monster to live on this planet. And I just don't think it's a higher power, the traditional higher power that maybe some religious people think.
Right.
She goes, of course, I can't, Jen Kirkman said, I can't push the ocean back. The sun, there's, oh my God, of course there's higher powers than me.
Yeah.
As far as believing in organized religion, I don't get people defending that. I really don't. As far as a belief, right, as far as people that just go, hey, I don't believe in organized religion. No, 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 no. There's a lot of people like that. I don't believe in organized religion, but yeah, I have a relationship with God. Why? I could see someone going, why not leave those people alone? Come on. You yeah. know what I mean? Why not yeah. leave those people alone? Aren't you just being a bully?
Yeah.
I guess the answer would be, why not let them believe it? Why not? Organized religion, I get you going, what? You're going to hold on to organized religion? They've done so much destruction. But what about someone that just goes, no, just me and God? Well, so you might go, oh, I'd be all right with it if they, no, you wouldn't. Stop it already. Just, I'm saying stop it because I believe that somebody listening to this, if you go, someone's over your house, you have a friend, they're introducing you to their new boyfriend or their new girlfriend at dinner, conversation goes on, they go, yeah, and you, they say rain God. At first you think they're being silly, and then they go, no, they really, through conversation, you find out. So yes, it's easy to go, yeah, I'd let them believe that. You wouldn't. When they leave, you'd go, then why? What's the problem? If somebody wants to believe in a rain god
right.
instead of the science of rain, how's it? Well, it's a truth that is not honest. And if you're going to have a dishonest about that, you wouldn't want to go in the business with this person maybe because there's a truth there. And yes, it's easy to say, yeah, if they wanted to believe in a rain god, what would I? But you come on. When they left, you'd go, wow, that was a little weird. You can agree that people like different colors. You can agree if people have different opinion and so many things. But we have some hardcore things. Same thing if the world's flat or round.
Well, as you first come into the Creation Museum, there's going to be a sense of, you know, this is something really big, this is something awe-inspiring and something great here. We can answer the questions of the skeptics that attack the Bible's history. You know, we admit that we start from the Bible here to teach them how to think. Really, in a nutshell, we're saying the Bible's true,
right,
from Genesis to Revelation. Immediately, people see dinosaurs and people together, which is very different to the idea of the evolutionists who say dinosaurs died out, you know, 70 million years ago or so, and so they didn't live with humans. They see an animatronic dinosaur over here, two animatronic baby T-Rexes and two animatronic children. It's basically just to give people a wow factor as they come in here.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I think a lot of people are scared to go to know where they go when they die, obviously. I am too. But my friend Kevin said, people are scared shitless. And if we could say to those people, number one, we can agree to disagree, but you need to know this. And I'm saying this to anybody listening that might, I promise you, that doesn't mean what I'm about to say will make us agree, but it should if you know I'm saying this from my heart.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it to be a dick. I'm not doing it to be a bully. You have to have somewhat of a disorder if you get comfort in taking people and what makes them feel good and trying to yank it out from under them. And I don't want to do that. I really don't. You feel they are because they're taking something from you that's bringing you a lot of comfort. I would imagine it would, you know, where you know where you go when you die.
Yeah.
Wow, that's comforting. But people know deep down, I really do believe that it's not the truth. And I think I would want to say to these people, when I hear my friend Almost Doctor, I have to call him Almost Doctor Kevin Sousa, talk about an honest relationship with what happens when you die. An honest conversation that you would get the true comfort you want.
Were you raised Catholic?
No, I was raised amazingly to believe in whatever we wanted. My parents let us go to, we learned a little bit about, we're Jewish by birth. I was Jewish by birth, and we studied that for a little while, and my neighbor one time wanted to take me and my brother to Bible camp, and my parents, which oddly enough, I found out years later, if you let your children study everything, even being atheist, as was talked about. My mom was very progressive.
That's very progressive.
And you take out any fear of, like, if you don't believe what we believe, you'll burn in hell. It's funny how kids might come to an honest relationship with whatever they want to believe once you just take out the little thing of, because I will say this.
Eternal hell and damnation. Right. Yes.
So for people that are out there, I try to cover every category. I know I go all over the place, but for someone that's out there is going, I do believe we go to a church, it's a Catholic church, but we don't believe in, we're not homophobic, we're not sexist. Do those churches exist? Yes. They. I hope someone listening right now going, I'm so glad he said that because we're part of a church. We welcome everybody. But guess what? I still have a problem that you want to connect yourself with an organization that has done so much harm. I don't get that. And you're responsible for that. And even you need to retake, even though the people that are going, go, no, we go to a church. We're not homophobic. We're not racist. All, anybody that wants to come in our church, we love you. You love us. You still have to relook at it. Maybe you don't want to align yourself with that group at all. They've done so much damage that maybe you want to rethink if you don't want to say you're something that you then have to explain away. Why don't you attach yourself to a group that maybe never did all those atrocious things in the past? You might go, well, it's not our fault they did atrocious things in the past. It's not, but don't align yourself with them. Just start clean.
It is a cosmic hug, though. I mean, religion brings people that like warm, fuzzy feeling that sometimes they didn't have growing. I grew up in a free denomination, agape kind of religion, which is, you know, speaking in tongues and all that kind of crazy stuff. And I know a lot of those people that went to our church were former alcoholics that then turned to religion as almost the same thing. You know, it's almost an equivalent of
and that. You know, for someone that has used religion to get off of drugs, someone might go, how can you argue that? Maybe I wouldn't with that person. Maybe that's not the person.
Right.
But for other people, you know, maybe I'd let that serve its purpose for a little while. But the problem is, you know, it's just like my friend Kevin said, have an honest relationship with death and you'll get what you want. Hmm. You really will. To take someone not aggressively, to treat them with kindness and love and a hug. You know, the atheist movement, you know, even though I'm very quick to say, out of all the people, like I said, that say, oh, they're aggressive and they're... overwhelmingly, they're not.
Right.
You feel they are, like I just said. That doesn't mean we don't have to be responsible for that. And maybe it does need a leader that comes off a little more warm, a little more to go, listen, I swear to you, I don't get joy out of stripping you what makes you feel so good. I really, really don't. If I do, I'm unaware of it, and I'm pretty sure I'm not unaware of that. But if so you have an honest relationship.
Coming in on an emotional level. Versus like a cold, psychological, scientific level is how you approach.
Well, maybe, because you have to be aware of what it does for them. And if you're not, it doesn't. I try to understand what it does for them in such a way that people might think I agree with it. No, I still need to get into their head. If you can't get into their head and think of the comfort it brings people. But, you know, cameras stop more thievery than God. So it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Like by the own fruition, it hasn't worked. Come on. It doesn't. Yeah. But if we just teach kids from a young age about an honest relationship with death and tell them that, like, yeah, you miss the physicality of grandma, grandpa not being here anymore. And I can't take that away. But I can tell you that their memories are real and that the stories you'll tell about them will be real. And things your grandfather did will literally make people breathe easier for hundreds and hundreds of years. And you think, well, and again, I'm going to repeat it because I love this line. Well, that'd be sure nice to believe. It's not. We're still talking about Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant. It's funny that most religious people that want eternal life, most, they're either have these beliefs that are bad or they attach them to an organization. Remember, I said it just because you attached yourself, that they want eternal life. But what if your words are your eternal life? What if the things that come out of your mouth, then I think, God, you guys are in horrible shape. You know, because the words that you've spread, the hatred, and to this day, in the organized religion, they're still telling kids they can pray the gay away.
Yeah.
That's evil.
That is evil.
That's evil. You know, and when we see people killing each other, they go, you know what the thing is? They would never go out and kill a gay person. ever. I get it. Me just saying that is like, what?
Yeah.
But what they will do, and to me, the only voice that I can give them is they're sort of saying, I would never go out and kill someone for being gay. But I would make their self-worth seem so low that eventually they would take their own life when being a young person. And there's a big difference between literally killing them. Some people would say it's a little eviler.
Yeah.
To evil, whatever that word is.
Yeah.
To make their self-worth, a young child to make. And if you're right, but you're not. You're not.
Right.
Stop it already. You know how I know they're not? A lot of people that do that are not being, it's nothing to do with God. Because not only do they keep it a secret and try to get their children help, then what are you keeping it a secret for if it's about God? You would just tell all your friends, my son's gay.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously we're trying to get him help. Oh, no, you're keeping it a secret. So you really don't give a fuck.
Right.
Or you wouldn't be lying to your friends and your family. It's like, sure, make them, you know, what are you, it's a lot of times it's just embarrassing for them. And they won't admit that. They won't admit it. Because if you ask somebody like, hey, why wouldn't you want to murder or teaching your child? Notice they don't go to God. Why wouldn't you, because there's a tangible reason.
Yeah.
Usually when you go to God, you're, and I used to not talk about any of this till, to my friends, I would. But after I saw Religious, it really did open up. Because before that movie came out, I was afraid to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
I really was. I was afraid to talk about it. And one time I said to my friend Jimmy Dore, I go, I don't want to talk about it on my podcast. I'm like afraid. He goes, afraid of what? And I went, I believe me, I got it right away. Either I was unnecessarily scared or that's what that religion did. And the one thing you can say about an atheist or someone that's agnostic, that if you turn around to them and you go, what happens if I don't believe what you say? This is my favorite thing to say. Uh-huh. Huh? What happens, Todd? You have a lot of beliefs there. What if I don't believe in one goddamn thing you say? What happens to me? I go, nothing.
So let me ask you this then. How do you think Mars' approach is? Because it seems like that's not his approach, which is the, I don't want to strip you away of your beliefs that make you are comfortable. I just want to have it.
Well, you know, look, he does say, which I repeat all the time, I don't know either. Because people love him. They go, what do you think? I know they're so ready for him to go,
yes.
Well, he goes, I don't know, but I'm not going to make something up until I do. Look, he might be a little harsher than I want him to be, but that doesn't mean that that documentary, like if somebody said, I thought he did this wrong and I thought he did that wrong, or let's say even I wish someone that, I want to hear, what do you think it did good first before you get into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because you can say, oh, I wish you would have handled it this way. I wish, even me, like we need, but if it makes me be able to talk about it, whatever I do stems from what he did. And he wasn't a monster about it. Come on, I don't know who would say, could he have been a little, you know, done things differently than I would? He was not a monster about it at all. I thought he was... You know, and people go, well, he found all the, isn't some of the criticism that he found the lunatics?
Yeah, the fringe. Yes.
But stop it. Like, they're all that way. And I'm saying, some people would say, look, when history writes itself, you don't get to weigh in.
Right, right.
And history is going to write itself. There's going to be a group of people.
Yeah.
And I know they're listening to this right now.
Yeah.
That like we said, they have a church that does not partake in any hate at all. Any. But maybe 50 years from now, a little kid's going to go, why did they want to even, like I said, attach themselves to that? They're going to look like, the words that are coming to my mouth are aggressive words, but it's very hard. I was going to say, they're going to look like lunatics.
Right.
They're aggressive words. And in therapy, you can't get anything done by calling your significant other a lunatic. And I just called people, but you understand the context that I'm saying it. Like, so when the fringe, well, you know, just because you don't believe in this or you don't believe in that, like the fact that you're even connecting to that group, some people would say is a little bit cuckoo. Some people would go, oh my, like I said, if, what would you say if you're, like we said, with the practice, you take over someone's practice that had, you know, their dental practice and they've had, you know, they were sued and they had just horrific things and they sexually molested somebody, but their practice was up for sale. So now you tell everybody, oh yeah, I'm Brinkman and whatever your name is. And they go, didn't they have it? You have to go, oh, no, I don't do that, and I don't partake in that, and I don't do that, and then we don't do that, and we don't take pills, and we don't, maybe get rid, maybe just start clean, so you're going to look crazy. So they're all, like, and if you don't believe in any of it, if you go, we don't believe in this, and we don't believe in that, and what about going to hell? We don't even believe that. Well, then you look even crazier for you're attaching yourselves to them. So you're all a little bit, nutty. So when you go, oh, he found the lunatics.
Right.
Well, you're attaching yourself to them. So why shouldn't you? You are. You're saying, no, God damn it, we're Christian light. We're So why can't he attach you? You've done it. So why can't he? I never had that come out of my mouth that way. That's You've attached yourself to them.
Right. Yeah,
it's not like they had a bake sale in 1988 and they raised $10,000 and none of the money went to a charity and we're nitpicking. We're not nitpicking.
There's no nitpicking.
Yeah, we're not nitpicking. No. So I don't know. I you know.
Well, and the thing is, I read a few reviews. One of them was from a magazine called Christian Today. So I wanted to read what they had to say about Religulous. And one of the things they said is that he just talked to the fringe and the crazies, but it was like they never mentioned anybody by name who wouldn't be considered fringe or crazy that he could have talked to. They were just like, oh, he went to the nuts and got their
But is that true?
No,
I should have rewatched it, but I remember him talking to some people that came off. I'm being very fair now. They were religious people that I thought came off pretty well spoken.
We have been talking to so many religious people, and many of them believe the Earth is 5,000 years old.
If you're a scientist, you can't accept that.
Now, you recently were the director of the Vatican Observatory, a Vatican astronomer. It's one of those terms like gay Republican. You just, you know, you just don't expect.
It's not that the church has the idea, you know, they're going to train us up so we can be the first ones out there to baptize those extraterrestrials before the Mormons get at them. The reason is simply historical facts. The Christian scriptures were written between about 2,000 years before Christ to about 200 years after Christ.
Right.
That's it. How in the world could there be any science in scripture?
You know, I think they were talking about like the truck drivers and the like crazy evangelists.
But again, I think, you know, maybe it's not so great that I'm admitting it, but I think I stumbled upon something that came out of my mouth once for clean and not so long-winded was, you don't want to be attached with those people, but you've attached yourself with those people.
That's right.
And again, it's not like you're nitpicking. I know you can't stop it already with that, I say with the no tone in my voice and calmer, because I want to hug you and go, stop.
Yeah.
We're not nitpicking.
No, exactly.
Come on, believe me, I defend people when someone goes, come on, don't, they've done a, they, you know, they've, and we keep going back to organized religion. Like, that is the one thing. Like, I want to take on people that just say, no, I don't believe it. But let alone, why are we still in this day and age with organized religion still having to, you know, have people go, well, no, come on, sit down, have an honest conversation about death. Let me tell you something. There's no way you can molest as many children as they did unless you're giving people something great. And it is. It's where you go when you die. No organization could exist if Nike or any organization, and they're an organization.
Yes, they are.
Molested as many kids as they did, they wouldn't still get to exist.
That is,
and by
a
the way,
fair point.
You know how I know the other day I thought about something? Look, just because you won't admit something verbatim, that there's an expression called catching a kid with his hand in the cookie jar. That means his hand's in the cookie jar. I know what people know it means, but I'm going to repeat it.
Yeah.
And they're watching him pull a cookie out of the cookie jar.
Right, right.
And he doesn't admit it.
Right.
That doesn't mean we didn't know that you didn't do it. And just because people won't go, look, there are some people that wouldn't fall under this category, but many would. I'm not going to ask them, but you're in your own home right now. You're on your treadmill listening to this. You can have an honest moment with yourself, you know. I'm not going to ever know. You're not sure that it's all true, because that's why a lot of those people get upset when you tell them it isn't.
Yeah.
If somebody said tomorrow, the sun ain't coming out tomorrow, Todd, the sun ain't fucking coming out, I'd be so calm, because you know what? The sun would come out in the morning.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't sure it would come out, I might go a little bit. And all the punishment from organized religion sounds man-made. It doesn't sound like if there is a God. By the way, I love this, because it's just for a second. I will say, you're making them sound like a human being, not this enlightened, amazing person. You're going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like something a dumb person says. Not like, or we're going to go to heaven. It's going to be gold streets. And they might go, well, we don't believe that anymore. You're attaching yourself. I was told that when I was a little kid. So I don't care if you're going, we do not teach kids that. You're that organization now. You're that you know, off breed of,
right.
Hey, that's what we were told. Gold streets, you know, you have, it sounds like a lot of things, a man made, you know, gates for what? Gates for what? To keep the fags out and the black people? What were the gates for?
Immigrant.
Gates. Sounds like, so, you know, it's just so, Well, I forget what I was talking about.
That's fine. I think basically you're talking about like factions of Christianity, of organized religion, and some people picking and choosing where they are within their religion, where they're like, "Oh, I don't do that part," or "I don't do that part," and you're like, "You're attaching yourself to the same religion that committed all these atrocities at some point, right?"
Yeah, that's the people that I sort of want to get affectionately with a warmer tone in my voice to go, "Come on, like you're helping the others by just end it already, just admit it." Like I said, Nike couldn't do all that and get away with it, so. Especially organized religion.
Yeah.
Of course, some people go, what about if you pray inward? And I always feel horrible when they say that because I'm like, you really think we're monsters? Of course, praying inwardly is good. To say, this year I want to be a little kinder. I want to try to be more gentle with my children. I want to be a little more patient with my mom. That's inward. Of course that is real.
Right.
We're not, you know, defying meditation or, you know, and love and caring and goodness and kindness. Matter of fact, I've always thought if you asked, you know, how many people would follow, who would follow the words of God or the words that we've been taught God has been said more, atheist or religious people? And I feel like everyone knows the answer. It's I think it might be atheist.
I think it might be.
It might be. Yeah. It might be.
Well, in the doc, he talks to, I think it was a... who was it? It was one of the evangelists, and he was like, "Well, we wouldn't murder somebody anyways. It doesn't matter that it's in the Bible,
right?
Like, we would have come to that anyways,
right? Just because you can go through there, you know, you could take 15 kind just quotes that even you got passed on from your grandmother and your grandparents,
right.
Just great quotes,
yeah,
clean, nice, good quotes, and then in every third one put an evil thing and go, well, there are some good things in there, but they could have been taught in a more honest way,
right?
They could have been, just because you can go through, can you go through the Bible and find good things? Of course you can, but you know, there's so much crap in there. Just get rid of it. It sounds so funny to say it that simple. Just get rid of it.
Stop it.
Get rid of it.
Right.
Just be nice.
Yeah. Be nice to each other and treat each other with some kindness and empathy. You know, I feel like a lot of times, like, empathy is just seems to go by the wayside a lot with organized religion, where they don't want to put themselves in the shoes of someone else. You know, they're like, I don't know that person. I don't like that person. Fuck that person. You know, I got what I do, you know. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy that comes with religion.
That's why I don't even like getting into any discussions. I will never get into a discussion where anybody quotes something. Well, look, I'm defying everything that's in there pretty much. So I don't want to, you're not going to change my opinion by going in chapter four, it says, legitificus, but a thing, and blah, 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 blah. I feel I'm past there. The same thing if somebody was trying to sell me that the world's flat. At one point, we deem things, you know, you have a mental instability. And
yeah.
I think we're there with that already.
But. I think we might be. I don't know. So what do you think of Marr's arguments that he brought up in the documentary? Do you think that they were valid? How do you think he did?
You know, we were just saying a little, like, I thought he did really good. I thought, you know, the one thing, I don't think, look, it's hard not to laugh a little sometimes because it's so, somebody told me that they thought Milmar sometimes, you know, with that little grin. I thought, look, it's hard not to. I'm sorry, but like, you know, a lot of times I'm going to bring back something I said a while back. Like, you know, if you were at someone's dinner and they were sitting down and they were saying the world is, you know, the world is flat.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, not what you're going to tell me you're going to do when they leave, but maybe pretend there's a hidden camera in your house the minute that door shuts.
Right.
Even if you're a kind, gentle person, it's hard not to have a little tone in your voice. Like, wow, that was weird. And that was, I bet you wouldn't, I bet you'd be a lot meaner than what you thought he was saying.
Yeah.
Imagine once the door shuts, you had to sit 3 hours with someone you know's new significant other and hear that they believe the world's flat that they believe the world, that there's a rain god. That's right. What you do. They pray. And that's why I pray the rain, not science. What you would say when the door left, well, that's how he feels, you know? History will write it, whether he was too hard on them, or maybe history will make it like, wow, how was he so kind?
I think people look at that documentary as saying, like, that was a much gentler Bill Maher than we're used to.
And again, for those people that say he was harsh, he never said you'll burn in hell.
Right.
Ever.
No.
Like, how can someone that claims you'll burn in hell think that he was too harsh?
Yeah.
He never said you'll burn in hell. You won't even get a hangnail. If you ask Bill Maher, Bill, what if I think every goddamn thing that comes out of your mouth is wrong? What will happen to me? I bet he'd go, well, you might not enjoy life as much as maybe people that weren't as judgmental. But as far as you mean from an entity, what type of harm will be placed on you? Right. Even Bill Maher would go, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. So, and then you're turning around. I don't get that. I don't get it. Well, you have to understand, when we're trying to figure out people that think he's too aggressive, we have to, again, I try to take tone out of my voice, go, think of what you're doing to that person. You have to, even if we disagree, and you're stripping them of a lot of comfort. And I understand that. That's why the part I love to repeat, just, I promise you, give it a shot.
Yeah.
You'll get what you need, and you'll get all the comfort you need, but you'll just have to go a different way to get it. But again, it's like a drug addict, because when a drug addict's trying to get off drugs, it's hard, because you think that the rest of your life is just going to be getting off of this thing that brought you comfort. But once you realize, wait, after I can get off the drugs, I'll reap the benefits of not being on drugs. I'll reap the benefits of my loving family. I'll reap the benefits of my wife or boyfriend. I'll reap the benefits of my kids. So it's not the rest of your life getting off drugs. Once you reap the benefits of what getting off drugs does, it starts to feel good. And I think that's what it might be with religion. If we can get you to just go another way, and then you reap the benefits of that world, you might go, oh, I really am getting what I needed.
Yeah.
And it's not make pretend.
Have you had that conversation with somebody in your life?
That's a great question. The other day, we were talking about religious with my friend, and I said, you know the question—
Was it soon to be Dr. Kevin?
No. Okay. This is my friend Lacey, almost Dr. Kevin Sousa.
Almost Dr. Kevin.
I love that we have to call him that. Yeah. He goes, you just have to, because I don't want to.
Is it master degree Kevin now? Or
No. Oh. Just his regular degree.
Oh, okay.
He's amazing. He really is amazing. And we were having this conversation with me and my friend Lacey about the question that we always ask. This mm-hmm. has to do with what you just said. Sure. About have I ever had this conversation with somebody? And the whole one about, come on, you were wrong about the world being round.
Yeah.
Flat. You were wrong about interracial marriage. You were wrong about, you know, how you treated women.
Right.
You were wrong about, hitting kids on the ruler.
Right.
On the knuckles with a ruler till they bled.
Right.
But come on, this is the part when I want to take all tone out of my voice. But come on. But what you're basically going is, but I think even if they were wrong about all that, they're right about where we go when we die. Stop. Come on. You are genuinely smarter than that, with no sarcasm.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be wrong about all that and go, oh, but I think they got this right. Come on. And you know, they're hitting their kids on the ruler. This has to do with people that believe in organized religion. And this is something that right after I saw Religious, I had a big conversation. I talk about this stuff all the time. I saw Religious, I had this huge conversation with my friend Eric, and he simplified something for me, and I love it. And I haven't thought about it till I wrote this down. It was the only thing I wrote down.
Okay.
How this spawn from Religious was, he goes, Todd, you know how I know that the Catholic religion has never talked to God? Never. Ever. Because he would have said to them, stop hitting kids on their knuckles till they bleed.
Yeah.
So if you can't take that in,
yeah,
someone that's holding on to the Catholic religion and go, wow, that is true.
Yeah.
Not one church did it. Not, oh, Todd, you know, maybe a few churches did that, but stop it already. Believe me, if there was, you know, let's say there's a million churches and 35 churches did that, I'd be like, stop it. That was 35 churches. They're mortified by that. They've showed they're mortified by that. But it was every goddamn Catholic school. People go, but public schools did it too. They don't claim to talk to God. Right. You said you talked to God. Anybody, by the way, on that, without quoting the Bible, without going into this chapter, it says, on that alone, if you are really coming to this from a place of knowledge, you're sitting in with these earphones on right now going, wow, they never talked to God. Or he would have said, stop that, let alone the world's not flat,
yeah.
You know, let alone all the other. But on that thing alone, for some reason, that's very specific to me, to go, oh, yeah, he would have said, stop that. And if he said it, you didn't hear him. So there's no dialogue.
Yeah.
How do you explain your way out of it? So answering your question, even though I went long, I always wonder if I asked a religious person that, what their answer would be. And I don't. And I really want to do that. I don't want to sit down and quote the Bible. I just want to have a clean discussion and go answer that. Or if they were wrong on so many things, you know, the go-to we always have, they were wrong on this and they were wrong on that and they were wrong on this, then why can't you think they could be wrong on gay marriage?
Right.
Like, and I never have an answer from them. I have a hypothetical. I don't know what the answer would be. I'll tell you what they wouldn't do. They wouldn't go, no, of course, they're going to have a clean answer.
Yeah.
But again, just because you think words came out of your mouth when I answered the question doesn't mean I'm taking it in as making sense.
Right.
You really have to make sense. You can't just say, well, if they were wrong on so many things, why do you have a hard time going, they could be wrong on this too. Their track record ain't great.
I find it very compelling about organized religion and like how just mean and destructive they are. I mean, everyone talks. I didn't grow up in a Catholic church or a Catholic school, but everyone talks about how mean nuns are. You know, I always find that so odd that like.
Yeah, Jimmy Dore had a joke. If you're so close to God, why are you so angry?
Yeah, why? I always thought the same thing. Is well, like, what are you so mad about?
You know, I'll tell you why, because I bet it has to do with, we're all meant to experience sexual feelings.
Yeah.
I really do.
Depression.
We are.
Yeah.
We are. And when you deprive people of what they can have, you can be kind and decent and gentle and still be able to do that. Maybe they were angry. Maybe they were a lot of people that it was a safe haven to go to. Same with priests, that if you were, look, I'm not saying everybody, but there was a shit ton of people. It was a safe haven. You know, I always talk about what the Catholic Church does to other people that don't agree with them. What about what they do to their own? That's not fair what they do to priests. No. That's not true that they shouldn't have sex. And that's not true. And if you're gay, you can go there. And no, there's right. A reason I never got married.
Yeah.
And it's not fair what they do to their own. It's not nice. I think that's important to bring up because I have so much empathy for. And, you know, the one thing I think we're connecting here, at least I want to, big time, is usually this conversation would go with, and there'd be people listening going, no, we started a new group. I'm repeating myself, but it's important to repeat. We started a new group. We don't partake in any of that. But you have a right to be judged that you attach themselves. That's the question I would want to ask someone in one of those churches that doesn't partake in any of that. Why did you attach yourself to that?
Do you think we should teach kids growing up that they should just write their own religion?
I think you let them, like everything, you let them just believe it. You let them study everything and you say, and what will happen, Mom, if I don't believe what you believe in? Oh my God, nothing, sweetheart.
Right, right.
Nothing. You believe you will love you no matter what.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, them those religions that go off in the Amish world, go off and they want them to, you know, learn about other things. It's so respected, you know, not respected, but your people go, that's sort of cool that they do that. Yeah, and if you don't believe in what we believe in, go.
Right.
Bye. Not come home and Mom and Dad will love you.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to alter whether they really love what they found. Maybe they don't believe in anything you fucking believed in, but they love you.
Right.
So they don't want to let go of that.
It's kind of like Amish and Rumspringa, you know, like that. Like, go ahead, see what's going on out there. But, you know, if you like it, you're never coming back.
Yeah, if you like, yeah. well, great. That's
yeah.
not.
I that's wish, fantastic.
That's fantastic. Real mature.
So if I shop at the Gap, I'm not coming home right. for a dinner. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's just ridiculous. One of the things I liked about that didn't get covered a lot in this documentary, but Mar brings it up a few times, is like how dangerous religion and nationalism are. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, you know, he was just saying, you know, that you shouldn't have the combination of both. Like, it's really dangerous to have, you know, religion and nationalism.
And explain, it's been a while since I've seen
yeah.
it. Explain what that means to me.
Well,
explain what that means, and not to me, but explain what that means. And it'll probably jog my memory. And
well, he was talking to a few people about, like, how they don't mix. Like, you can't have, basically a separation of church and state, you know, in the United States. Like he goes with Ray Suarez from NPR on the Jefferson Memorial, and they talk about all the founding fathers were atheists, basically, you know. And he was just saying it's dangerous to have religion combined with your like national politics.
And they sort of laugh at it's funny today in religion. What do they call the? They are not philanthropists, but people that, Aristotle, and what were they? What were they all? They were, I'm sorry, I sound like a moron.
Philosophers?
Philosophers. They sort of make fun of philosophers, but you know what I mean? Like, oh, they're right. Yeah. But, like, it's funny that all them were. Yeah, I mean, but that's the age old, you know, that the mixture of the two. I still don't understand that. You know, I still, in the Mormon religion, did they talk about that? Where how they, yeah, they have a Mormon church on at every school, which is church, and
yeah,
that's mixing it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they go to the Mormon church, and then they get ushered away in the documentary. But yeah, I mean, they talk about that stuff, and I think he just mentions that a lot of our politicians will be like, "I love Jefferson, I love Washington," and he's like, "None of them, they're all atheists."
Well, that's okay. Now that's the other thing that we talked about. You just said something that I'll tie both together. Have you ever sat down with someone and asked them that? Like me and you, we're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay, because when you preach to the choir. Someone told me this once and I liked it. I got an email. They go, you teach people a new phrase. And when I listen to someone basically that I agree with and they say it a different way, I'll teach me a new way to say it.
Yeah.
So preaching to the choir is okay, but also important. And now there's two things that, and this is the second one that I would love to ask somebody that what you just said. And they talked about that, you know, and obviously I'm religious, that what would they say? Like, these are people you quote and you, but has anyone ever said, hey, what about that? He didn't in the movie, did he?
Well, they kind of go over it a little bit. He has quotes from like John Adams and Jefferson basically being like, you know, if you're religious, you're fucking stupid. I mean, you know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but they go over it a little bit, yeah, in the documentary. I just thought I find it like so odd that, like, you know, a lot of our Republican politicians will talk about their love of our founding fathers, but they just, like, you know, none of these guys, first of all, they're all slave owners too, and atheists for the most part. Like, they didn't want religion to be mixed up in our state, you know?
And also, they always say we need to go back to make the world great again. And I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
There's 50 ways to go back and there's 50 ways to go forward. Can we at least agree it's forward?
Yeah,
that doesn't mean it would be easy. It doesn't all mean it would be, you know, pie. If we all said, no, our answers are ahead of us. We're still 30 ways to go forward.
Right.
We still go, let's go back to the way the good old days. Let's go back. What year do you want to go back to? Because if you took the time to research how we treated different groups of people, look, we still have a shit ton of problems today. And we still have a lot of people being treated like shit. But I think there's no doubt if Mr. Rogers was alive today and you said, you know, would you rather go back or would you rather go forward? He would go forward, even with all the destruction and things that are going on wrong today. I understand that right now a lot of bad things are happening, and even good, kind people go, come on, how can you say it's getting better? Look, just have a realistic look at the past. It doesn't trivialize,
yeah.
What's going on today. But it just puts it into perspective.
Well, and Jefferson's a particularly interesting case.
Didn't he write his own Bible, which divorced the New Testament from what he considered the unnecessary magic and bells and whistles?
He took the Gospels,
right,
took out all of Jesus' miracles, and took out all of Jesus' statements that claimed divinity, and put out a new book called The Faith and Moral Teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. We tend to lionize these guys and think of them all as like the 12 apostles plus the founding fathers, like they're right, in the same club or something, when in fact these men understood very well that there was a difference between being Christian and being American.
Right.
In Jefferson's age, fewer people went to church, less often.
It's all that reactionary politics stuff, because it's just empty rhetoric. It's like they always talk about Republicans, and a lot of Democrats too, you know, whatever party, but they talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days always suck.
Well, the good old days were great if you were a white male.
Right.
And straight, not even that, because if you were a white male, I'm sure all those things I just affected you. The Holocaust affected white men. The mob, I'm sure, killed a lot of white men. But we're also saying, and after that, yeah, if anybody had it easy, you know, a white guy.
Yes.
But if you look at the way we treated any group of people, you'd be like, no, let's go forward.
Yeah.
You know, let's... Come on.
Well, I mean, talking about religion is not easy. And one of the things I liked about this documentary is that it was funny. And he's with Larry Charles. Is that the director's name that did Borat? Yeah, Larry Charles.
Yeah. He's the director.
Yeah, Larry Charles, and who seems to know what he's doing when he goes on locations and has to talk.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
To people, you know, and I like that it seemed like Bill Maher was taking like a funny attitude about it. And, you know, like he was being, you know, kind to people. He wasn't.
I agree with you. Yeah. And you're right. How hard is it? Like, look at me. Like, I'm trying to sit down here and talk about the movie and I get so intense.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he really was not, he was not intense at all.
No.
He was pretty mellow.
He was pretty mellow.
He was pretty mellow. And, yeah. And you're right. And be able to laugh. And I thought it'd be pretty, look, I could rewatch it, but to take on that and do it with a big sense of humor and be pretty kind and pretty mellow, like, and no matter what, don't you think he watches it and probably goes, oh, I wish I would have shown that.
Of course.
Or I wish I would. Of course he does. Yeah. But concentrate on how much it has done good and made people just be comfortable to talk. You know, the thing is, you know, I know that a lot of the people that disagree, it's because you're taking away, like we said, something that brings them comfort. Because I don't want a court order to change people's beliefs. At the end of the day, I am passionately saying the way I feel, hoping that it affects someone and changes them. But at the end of the day, no matter how much I go, ba 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 ba, what should anybody that hears this that doesn't believe me get to do? Do exactly what you want.
Right.
Seriously, honestly, just do exactly what you want. Am I hoping it changes people? Of course I do, because I think it brings a lot of harm. So, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, we're not trying to put it in our schools. I don't know if that's true or not. I think it wouldn't. Well, no, I think everything should be taught in schools maybe or whatever. But no, you know.
Yeah. Well, what really got me too is that this documentary came out in 2008. So we're 7 years later.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, 2008. 7 years later. And there's everything that he was talking about is still relevant today, you know, about factionalized Christianity, Scientology, Mormons, Muslims, Jews, you know, all the same stuff that he was talking about bringing up is about hatred and wars and politics. It's all still prevalent today. I just thought it's one of those things that kind of jogs your head. You're like, oh yeah, there were bombings and shootings then.
That's right. When they talk about ISIS, all you have to do is for a newer religion, you know, is it a religion? It's not a religion.
Yeah.
You go back and look at the Catholic religion and all the things they did.
Right.
You're like, I don't know why. That's why it's hard to it's hard to align yourself with the Catholic religion and then really think, oh, what they do is so. Look, you know, whenever you're aligning yourself with a group of people that says you're going to burn in hell, it's just so much cleaner if somebody, I always picture someone that believes in what ISIS believes in says to me, well, your group believes in, it's fun to be able to say, no, we don't.
Yeah.
No, what do you believe? I don't believe anybody should be hurt.
Right.
So, but if again, you're with the Catholic Church, you got to, the best you can say, oh no, we started our own division. We don't, wouldn't it just be cleaner to just get rid of, that's why things are, you just said they're the same when Bill Maher, when they did Religious in 2000, it was 8, you said, right?
Yeah.
Why are we still at the same place? Because, I'll tell you why. Because we're going one group at a time instead of going, leave everybody the fuck alone. I knew 5 years ago that transgender people were the next one to take the blow. Because, you know, when you go to therapy to learn about how to deal with your anger, it's a weird analogy, but I think it's a good analogy and shows you why we're exactly where we were at back then. Is because you go learn how to deal with anger in every situation. You don't learn how to have your deal with your anger with your kids. And then next week or a month from now, you're in there and the therapist goes, boy, you were yelling at your wife like that? Now, no, this We're supposed to teach you how to deal with your anger. And then you're supposed to implement it with the lady at the CVS, with your wife, with your kids. Right. We don't just teach you how to deal with anger in every single situation. And that's what I feel like we do, why we're in the same situation. Because we don't, we just have to teach people empathy. And that means leave, don't. That's why when there's gay, homophobic, gay people that are racist, or black people that are homophobic, or women that are racist, I go, oh my God, you?
Right, you leave.
There was one thing for you to learn, and that's not turn around and do it to the next goddamn group. And what happens is they go, no, no, my group was treated unfairly.
Right.
Unfairly.
Yeah.
This group I'm treating unfairly, fairly. And again, like the same thing with that, someone could turn around and do that to transgender people. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You had one goddamn lesson to learn. And people are like, oh, what's next? I love people that say that. I talk about this all the time. What's next? What's next? They're so fucking tired of learning. What do you give a shit? What's next? Something else overdue and righteous. What are you tired of learning for? Leave everybody the fuck alone. Just leave everybody the fuck alone. There's going to be, so what, after transgender people, there'll be something else. I said it this way. I said heavy people. They're going to take a blow too, because people want to be able to, you know, go after somebody.
Yeah,
so if it's not, it's some, just leave everybody the fuck alone. What is wrong? So that's why we're in the same place, because we're going one issue at a time. And religion doesn't help that. It helps perpetuate why we're talking about what we're talking about.
Right, right.
Leave everybody the fuck alone. Don't, by the way, isn't organized religion tired in a weird twisted way? And this is a podcast, so you know it won't be edited. I almost, and you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. The Ku Klux Klan has more of a backbone than they do. They don't change at all. Religion, no. Aren't they tired of coming in last? They never drag anybody into brilliance.
No.
They never really do. Not when it comes to human decency. You're and right. Stop it if you're listening, trying to find one thing. We're talking about monumental things that are like, all right, we'll be all right with women doing this. They come like dragging in like a kid that's, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You would think, you know, if I was a PR person for the organized religion, if I wanted to save it,
right.
If I wanted to save it, I'd go in there. I wouldn't, obviously, right, and go, right, listen, right. Every time there's where the crossroads of how to treat people, we come in last. Now, there's something on the table right now, you fucks. Yeah. Transgender people are having a difficult time. Let's be the first for once in the fucking world. We're going to be right on top of this, and we're going to be brilliant about it right away. This is the first group of people. We're not going to wait, but sure fuck enough, people will hear your podcast in 20 years, and that's exactly what they're going to do if they're still around.
Right.
15, 20 years from now, all right, well, why not just, don't you see your track record? Don't you see your track record? And let me tell you something. Organized religion, they love to go after people like Bill Maher and me. Let me tell you something. When history writes itself, and when history writes itself, it always tells the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Bill Maher or me and my stupid little podcast has going to have nothing to do with why it started to crumble. And if you can't see that inwardly, if you can't go, when history writes itself, not now. Now you get to go, I think this and you think that and I think this and me too. I put the same tone in my voice. Hey, they think this and you think that and they think this and they argue and they fight. Everyone thinks they have great points, including me. But then history tells the goddamn facts. And history is going to be that you did a great job closing it down, or at least starting to crumble it all by yourself. When you fuck that many kids, and you hit kids over the hand with the ruler till they bleed because they're left-handed, and you're last to come in with interracial marriaging, and you're still telling kids you crumbled it all by yourself. So you should really stop worrying about Bill Maher and what he does and what I do, and go inward. Go inward. If you have any self, to be able to self-awareness to go, yeah, we are sort of doing a great job of crumbling this. Kids aren't dumb. And they're not, the history of kids, go back, look at what the young pulse of any generation, I've gone into my act a little bit in my podcast because I get fired up, but I call it using social stats. And the social stats are that the young pulse of the young generation, not all young people, there's young idiots and there's old idiots. But the young pulse of most young people, what they're fighting for, if you go back and look at it, they tend to be right. And it's no different now. Kids are not hopping, the number of young kids that believe in religion, they're not joining it because they're stupider. They're smarter. They're smarter. You want to believe they're dumber because that helps. They're not. They're not coming aboard because their kids are smart, and they get smarter every year. And that's your fault if they're not hopping aboard a group that's done so much bad.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So that's your fault. You have to take responsibility for that. Not get mad. You're so mad at everybody else, and you think, why don't you just work inwardly? and what you've done and the torture you've done. The Catholic Church, when history writes itself, is going to be, no, they did a great job all by themselves.
One of the things that the Catholics have not been good at, I don't think, is inward introspection. You know, it's like looking inward and being like, man, we really fucked up the last 600 years.
Yeah, they say that maybe if you did it publicly, people would confess. Right. When's the last time you confessed? I went on YouTube trying to find one video of someone. And by the way, it's very important to realize, I get it that all religion sucks. I get it. Why do we go after the Catholic religion? Because it's what we know a lot about, and that's, for lack of a better way, the famous religion. But what were we saying?
I was talking about introspection, the Catholic Church not being very good at it.
Yeah, there's nothing on YouTube of any preacher in any, I searched it, of any, I know it's a weird thing to keep picking out with all the horrific things they've done, the ruler on the kids, and I'll tell you why, because that was, look, everything they've done bad was yesterday, and a lot of it is today, but that seems like 20 minutes ago, hitting kids on their knuckles till they bled. Like, we have to make pretend that praying the gay away. The reason, well, why don't you bring that up, Todd, or bring up a million other things? Because we get to make pretend that, well, we're still not positive if gay is good or bad or if it's against God. We still, I try to think, what's the cleanest thing that nobody could argue with? Even a religious person wouldn't go, oh my. So where are the videos of them? Because if they really ever realized how bad that was, hitting kids on their knuckles, there'd be videos of preachers in front of the pulpit going, what? I know the way they are when they believe in something. And where are they? Not just saying it in passing. Where are they screaming at how goddamn embarrassing that was? And then they go, well, we're going to align ourselves with that group, but we won't do it. But please don't be mad at us. We're going to align. There's not one video of them being.
Of course not.
So when you talk about this, what was the word you used? Self.
Introspective. Yeah. Like, yeah. Looking in. Yeah.
To me, if that's not proof of that, let me tell you something. A young person hears that, you can quote all the goddamn Bible passages you want to them. And you can do it all you want. You can think they're clean and they're crisp and you have good points, just like I do. I get it. But a young person hears that, especially, and they go, wow, they didn't have a connection with God, or he would have said, don't do that. Now, you might think, why not reference the world round one as much, round flat? Because that seems like so long ago. You have to give people tangible things, especially young people. And that was like 20 minutes ago. So to me, that's why it's a very clean, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you would think love would be universal, and it would be used for all of God's creatures or whatever, but you know, the Catholic Church, Catholic chick, picks and chooses. You know, they all pick and choose what the, you were mentioning, get all the world's religion in one room and just be like, hey, we need to solve this. But all of a sudden, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that sounds great, except not with the Buddhists. We're not bringing the Buddhists in here, but you know, and everyone's like, yeah, fuck the Buddhists.
Now they're
good,
right? Because they say when science, it's not going to be an argument when they. Science is, they'll learn, right?
Yeah, I would
imagine. I'm not saying, look, the bottom line is, like, maybe it's even dangerous. You know what I say? I don't mind learning. If a brilliant person tells me why that's even dangerous to align yourself, just try to, it's so much easier. There's a way of life that's easier. People go, well, another thing, oh, people misinterpret the Bible. I try to think of everything someone thinks, and then, I'll be honest, I try to, they go to the right, I go to the right.
Jog.
You have to take responsibility. If people misread the Bible and people misunderstand it, well, then that's your fault, too.
Right.
You can't have directions to a toaster that are horrible and then never clean them up or whatever. You know, right. A direction to a toaster, horrible analogy, or to some product. You got to, the company goes, we need to fix it. They don't keep the same directions to whatever product they're selling and 500 years later go, well, people are misunderstanding it. No, inwardly they go, and could it be our fault? Are these hard directions to read? Are we going to just blame people till everyone's dead and everyone's hateful? Start a new book, make it clean. Just, if someone's kind to you, be kind to them. Everybody on this planet is born equal. Anything after that, you fucking created. So go out and be kind and be loving and love the fuck out of everybody. How can you misinterpret that?
You can't.
So anything you decide to join up with after that, then you're not thinking it through.
Amen.
Throw out your goddamn directions to life.
And your toaster, apparently.
And throw out your toaster. Who needs directions to a toaster, by the way? You know the person that doesn't agree with me? They still haven't let go of that.
No.
Directions to a toaster? Who's this guy with all the...
Hey, you got one through five. Five gets dark. One is, you know, barely heated.
My feet are sweating. I'm so passionate about this.
Well, I think this is a good point to exit.
Oh, can I mention my Netflix special?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. You want to do some plugs? It's called I've Come to Religion by Todd Glass.
Well, I hope, you know, look, I've said some of these things before, but never isolated. And some of them I've never said before. Since I knew we were going to do this, I had some thoughts. And
scoop. We got a scoop.
Well, some of them I want to talk about. I won't say that. I was going to say, when I say, can I plug my Netflix special, I meant was so like, but what I'm about to say is that I am doing one in January, and a lot of this stuff I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So the more I talk about it now, the more it cleans up in my head.
Absolutely.
And obviously what's enjoyable about doing a podcast is, you know, in stand-up comedy, you have to be, well, I think if you want to change people's beliefs, you have to be funnier than preachy.
Amen.
But in a podcast or radio, you know, you don't have to worry
it's
about
the Wild
that.
West.
Yeah, you do whatever you want. That's why sometimes it's enjoyable. And then from that, you know, if I can't make it funny, I don't want the type of act where people applaud. You know, that means they just agree with you, which is nice, but I want them to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to quote Jimmy Dore. He has a great joke about religion. And again, it's not just, I like it. To me, this is the... It's just a great example of how if you use comedy, not just, you know, like some of the stuff I was just doing to like, because we're doing a podcast, but in your act, if it's not funnier than it's preachy, you're not going to change someone's belief. And I think this is a great example of a joke that is funnier than preachy.
Okay.
He goes, a lot of people say, you know, what do you believe? I hope I don't bastardize this joke. Well, you know, why do you believe in what you believe in? And many times, not always, well, my parents believed in it. Whether you say it or you don't say it, that's how you. And he goes, these are people that you wouldn't let buy you a shirt. Or a CD, you know, which, by the way, that's not just silly. That's true. So you're saying, oh, I wouldn't let him buy me a shirt. I wouldn't let him pick my music for me. But they probably got the religion thing right. And that's I love that. He goes, what if their religion is the equivalent to sandals and black socks?
Right. Yeah.
I think a younger person hears that and they go, whoa.
Oh, I see a fanny pack in that picture. That's not going to be good.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the religion they do. Anyway.
Well, thank
God you. Bless you.
Yeah, God bless you. I hope... Todd Stained Glass, is that you could, for your religious, huh?
I like it.
Stained Glass.
I was going to call it Preach. I don't know what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because, you know, my big argument of even though we still have a lot of bad things going on, it is better. I was going to call it, at worst, it's the same.
Oh, yeah. That's
at
good.
At worst, it's the same.
At worst,
or
it's the same.
Once I start talking, it's hard for me to shut up. It's either one or the other.
One or the two. So we end this, and...
What do we do?
We do end it. And this is what I ask our guests is to name a doc that you would recommend for people listening. Something else that you've seen that you've loved or something that you thought was intriguing.
Can we cheat and make a joke about it?
Sure.
I'm going to leave a blank and then I'm going to call you on the phone.
Nice.
And then you'll put it in here. Oh, so I'll do it right now. Ready? And they'll know. They'll be, hey, the documentary that I would recommend... Yeah, I think that would be it.
Oh, that'd be a great one.
And you'll put it right in there.
I just put
you
it right
just
in.
Did because they heard it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
It gives me time to think about it, and I want to really think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
God bless.
Thanks for listening. You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please review, subscribe, and rate.
And you can follow us on Twitter at SupDocPodcast and online at SupDocPodcast.com.
This show is produced by Will Scovel, and our theme music is by David Siegel.
If you want to suggest a documentary or a future guest, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.